glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. That was Matthew 6, verse 12.
O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is May 1st. It's Friday, the first day of this new month, a new opportunity to serve the Lord, to serve those around you, to enter in a new month, maybe with new aspirations or goals set or opportunities. And we trust and we hope, and we've already prayed that something that's shared and said today will be a blessing to you. Maybe it'll be an insight for you. Maybe the Holy Spirit will quicken to your mind or heart confirmation on something you're praying about or thinking through. But today we're going to be looking at forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, some translations, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Or others might say, you know, forgive us our sins as we have sinned against others. All the same concept. We need that forgiveness. And we serve a risen Savior that paid the penalty on the cross for the sins we've committed. We've all committed them. We've all fallen short. And so I trust, and as I mentioned, I hope and pray that we'll all glean some new truth, or just the truth that exists, that God is in the business of redemption, of forgiving us our sins. But there's a method, there's a means. It's Jesus. And so Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church facilitates our discussion. Appreciate his passion, his faithfulness to his church, Calvary Church in Springfield, and his desire that all come to know Jesus. And he's equipping us, the saints, those that follow Jesus. But for you too, listener, maybe you haven't had a relationship with Jesus, and today's the day that's going to begin. Well, he wants to reach out and let everyone know that there is forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope if you're a seeker today, and maybe you're not familiar with the Christian faith or what it means to have a relationship with God through Jesus, today is that day. So we celebrate with you, and we're glad you're tuned in to one of our many frequencies. So, Pastor Mark, I don't know, what else do you want to maybe lay groundwork for us to look at these important words of Jesus?
The whole aspect of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been talking about in these passages the last several weeks is Jesus teaching us how we are to walk and live in his kingdom. In these passages of prayer, he's really talking to us about how we view God and approach God, and how we view ourselves. So he talks about seeing God as an honored Father. He talks about us surrendering our will to his will and us praying, not for our will to be done, but for his will to be done. He teaches us to see God as the one who meets our needs, and we can come to him with every need. So how we view ourselves and how we view God puts our life in perspective, in a right perspective in the kingdom of God. So A.W. Tozer wrote these words. He believed that a low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils, but a high view of God is a solution to 10,000 temporal problems. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, then your biggest problem isn't your impending divorce or your doctor's diagnosis or a failing business. We're not making light of those things. We're not making light of the relational problems that we may have, or financial or health issues. I certainly don't want to minimize some things that feel like overwhelming challenges that you may be facing, but in order to regain a godly perspective of your problems, you must answer this question. Are my problems bigger than God? Or is God bigger than our problems?
Right.
Our biggest problem is a small view of God. This brings us to one of the hardest concepts in the kingdom of God and our view of ourselves and of God that's key to our right heart in prayer. And this right heart in prayer, he tells us, is this. We pray this way, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That's a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. What's in your heart? Have you ever picked up a piece of fruit at the grocery store and brought it home? And you cut into it, and there's a rottenness in it, a bruise in it. And how do you deal with that? You have to cut that out. It's no good. You're not going to eat that. How does God see our heart? If you hate someone because of something they did to you, some wrong they did to you in your past, that is a rottenness in our heart. That's a bruise in our heart. If there are a group of people you dislike just because I don't like that group of people, that is a stirring, a rottenness in our heart that needs to be healed. Right now, the enemy's trying to stir hatred between various groups mm-hmm. of people in our nation. Even between sons and daughters, seems to be an epidemic of sons and daughters who cut their parents off and don't want anything to do with them anymore. That's a rottenness of our spirit. They want to say, oh, it's mom and dad's problem. No, it's what's in my heart that's the problem. And so we want to look at this passage and this idea that if there's anger or bitterness or hatred or desire for revenge in me towards others, maybe I don't even hate that person. I just feel nasty about it. Maybe I've been at that point. Well, I just have a few things I'd like to say to
mm-hmm,
them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that speaks to our heart's nature towards them. So Jesus tells us about his kingdom. And before we just kind of open the floor here, talk a little bit more, I want to read another passage from Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Jesus says these words, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children all that he had, and make payment for what he owed. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.'" Now, the reality of that at this part of the story is this money was so huge that there's no way he could have ever paid him everything. It was way out of his reach to do it. But it goes on and says, "And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, not much, maybe a day's labor, and he seized him, and he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you of all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he could pay all his debt." Jesus then says these startling words, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." That's a tough passage, isn't it? So what does that say to those in the room? Does anyone want to comment on that today?
One of the other things that the Bible talks about is the relationship between people, especially within the church, is one of God's high priorities. He says that's how people will know that we're Christians, is by how we interact with each other,
how
with
love
and with grace. Exactly. And then even earlier in this very sermon that Jesus has given, he said that, yes, the sacrifices in the temple are great, but if you're there and you have a dispute with your brother, leave your offering here. Go be reconciled with him. That's more important than giving your sacrifice to God. God is more interested in how you treat other people than he is in the things we do for him.
You know, I would encourage you to think about this. The illustration that Jesus gives us here is that we are the man and God is the king. Mm-hmm. We owe him a great debt. We owe him a debt we could never pay. Our whole relationship with him is based on forgiveness. The king gives us mercy. The debt that we owe to God, we can never repay. We can't fix what we've done in the past. We probably can't even fix some of the mistakes we're going to make in the future. But God offers us forgiveness. And so the spirit of that forgiveness should be in us. This servant goes out to a man who owes him just a little bit. And the man seeks mercy, but the first man refuses and shows no mercy. And he throws him into prison. So we see this. We're the man forgiven of a great debt. And the man is the person who has hurt us. Probably all of us can put faces on that declaration. Who has hurt you? Maybe deeply. Who has caused you pain? The servants of the king are troubled by what they see, and the king, in anger, throws the man who had given mercy to into prison. So we see the danger of this prayer. This is a startling prayer, for he says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Wow, that is a high standard. That's a tough standard. It's a standard where we even need the grace of God to be able to achieve it. So the lesson of this story, in this story and in the Lord's Prayer is that it's dangerous in the kingdom of God not to forgive other people. Forgiveness is a hard issue.
Yes. You know, one of the first things I wrote down was having that right perspective of God. But there's also, and I don't know where the passage is or if it was a teaching of Jesus, but he who has been forgiven much loves much. And I think also having the right perspective, because we can be like that elder brother, that, "Dad, I served you, I stayed with you, I did all these things." But his attitude was like, he was almost above reproach. He didn't realize how much he needed to be forgiven. And I say that because in my life, yeah, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't done maybe some major crimes, but I sense all the different things that I need to be forgiven for. And so I go to God. I've been forgiven very much. I have no illusions that I'm better than most other people. And so I do think I have that sense that because the Lord has forgiven me much, I can love much and I can forgive others too. And so I think we have to have that right perspective that we're all flawed, we're all sinners, we all fall far short of God's perfection. And so there's none of us that shouldn't say, "God, I've been forgiven much."
You know, it's easy. This interesting thing. If you ask me today, like we're talking today, if I asked you, probably the same thing. Think of the people who have hurt you in life. We can download that list really quick. I mean, that is a fast download. It comes at supersonic speed. We see their faces. We remember the instances. We remember all of those things quickly. Let's ask the question the other way and see how fast it is. Who are the people you have hurt? Who are the ones you have wounded? Who are the ones that you've treated unfairly? Who are the ones that you justify some way how you've hurt them and betrayed them? Do those names download very quickly?
No,
we kind of pass it. We make excuses for all of those. And yet we've hurt those people. And they are people that God loves. They are people that God cares about. They are people that God wants the best for. And maybe I've even hurt the testimony of God as a Christian because I've hurt them. I can think of a couple of people, maybe the way I hurt them wounded their image of God and whether they believed God was faithful or not. So I've got to be careful with this idea that, boy, others have hurt me and I'm deeply wounded. Now, you know, certainly some people, some pieces of fruit in the grocery store are more easily bruised than other pieces of fruit in the grocery store. And some people are more easily bruised. You know, I talk with people from time to time, and they just go through a series. Their whole life is a series of wounds. And if my whole life is a series of wounds, maybe I'm just too fragile. Maybe I need to get the strength of God in me a little bit. Maybe I need to learn how to love people, which overlooks all wrongs. Maybe I need to grow and not be so easily wounded. On the other side, there are people who've been wounded severely, abused severely, broken severely. And we come back to the question of how do I forgive when I've been wounded so badly? And even to the ones who've been wounded slightly, but they're carrying it maybe a little deeper than they should. How do they get over it?
Yeah, and I want to jump back again, that having that right perspective of God, of each other. And I don't know if you mentioned this because I was writing down notes as you were sharing different things, but that book you referred to is Knowledge of the Holy. I don't know if you mentioned the title, by A.W. Tozer. It's one of my all-time, it's in my top 10 all-time favorites. Every 3 or 4 years I read it, but it helps you get the right perspective of who God is, how awesome he is. And it's so important, and our viewpoint of God will live that out in everyday life. And so it's so important. So listening friend, Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. It's just, I don't know, 132 pages. It's an easy read, but you can only digest like 3 or 4 pages at a time. I mean, there's enough
to, a deep read.
Yeah, enough meat on it that you can have it devotional thoughts for many nights before you go to bed, but highly recommend it. But again, getting that proper perspective of who God is and the forgiveness he offers. It wasn't cheap forgiveness. It cost him the Son, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So a high price has been paid, but we have to first receive that and then extend it to others. So is that an easy thing to do, Pastor Mark?
No, not at all. It's a hard thing to do sometimes. I don't know that I know many people that when they've been wounded deeply, that it's easy to see that other person the same way they saw them before. It's a high calling of God. But listen, a lack of forgiveness is a sign of a heart not fully aware of the forgiveness they have been given. Mm-hmm. When I become aware of the holiness of God and who God is and how much he's had to forgive, how far, I don't think, Mark, I don't think we understand even today as Christians, sitting in this room as Christians, and we can look back and we can see how far, probably everyone in this room can talk to us about how far we've grown. And I often think of it this way. If I've grown 6 inches of spiritual growth, it may look like a long way. But God's holiness is the other side of the galaxy.
Yeah.
You know, that's where his holiness is at. And I'm nowhere close to it. I think we still carry things that are going to be so natural in the millennial age and the new heavens and new earth. We're going to be so naturally different than what we are now because some of the struggles we have in us are going to be gone. We won't have the jealousies. We won't have easily wounded spirits. We won't be people who are insensitive or without care. We're going to be past all of this kind of, we're just so different. The eternal life is going to be so different than this world that we can't hardly imagine it. And yet God is calling us to this. So a lack of forgiveness is a sign of our heart not fully healed by the love of God. So I've said this, I think, here before, but there have been people that have wounded me, and I pray, I God says, bless those who curse you, bless those who persecute you, bless those who harm you. Wow, God, that's big. So I pray the prayer. God, you know this person, and they really hurt me, and I'm really mad at them, but God, I want you to bless them. And God, I confess that I'm lying. Forgive me for lying. I don't really mean it. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Okay. Fix me. I'm broken. I still feel the bitterness come up. I still feel the junk come up from what they did to me that I feel is unfair. And so God, heal me. Now, let me tell you, we talk about how do we get there. I believe in my life, how I get there is I pray that prayer Jesus tells me to pray. God, bless them. Move in their life. Let me see them the way you see them through eyes of love, even though they may be in the moment causing me pain and suffering, lying about me, doing something harmful to me. God, help me to see them the way you see it. Let me see them the way Jesus saw the men crucifying, the way Stephen saw the men who were stoning him, where they could pray, Father, forgive them. Hold this sin not against them. Hold this sin not against them. Wow.
You know, and I appreciate, Pastor Mark, your example of, God, I'm being a little disingenuous because I really don't care about them. I hate them. I'm mad at them. But for the listener that maybe has never developed or began that conversation with God, simple prayers, God understands it all. He knows your attitudes, your thinking. You can't hide anything from him. you can approach him with honesty. And the Psalms are filled with that, where David shares things. So listening, friend, praying doesn't mean you have to be totally perfect and pure and sinless. It just means that God's approachable and he's ready to hear your prayers to him.
Oh, yeah. Something like a quarter of the Psalms are just David pouring out either pain or anger, asking God to, you know, smash their teeth in their mouth, dash their head against rocks. Like, he's angry, but he's bringing the anger to God. It's not wrong for him to feel this way. It's not wrong for him to tell God that he feels this way. God understands, because God gave us the ability to feel anger when we see injustices.
And David also said, you know, though my father and mother forsake me. So listening, friend, you might have situations that truly there was harm and hurt and aggravation, and you can share those things with God.
Mark, yes. I have found in my life that being obedient to God in prayer is part of the pathway to God being able to heal me. That's why I say, I pray, God, bless them. Oh, God, I'm saying that through gritted teeth. You know, but God, I know that's how you want me to feel. That's what you want me to be. And so, God, I'm being obedient to you, and I'm asking you to help me to be transformed.
Yeah.
And so many times in my life, I've gone through a period of time praying for somebody who has intentfully tried to harm me. And all of us have that. I've never met somebody that didn't have somebody that hasn't done something evil to them at some point in time. But as I prayed for that, the amazing thing is that when the day comes, when you pray that prayer and you realize, I mean it. I really do want God to bless them. I want God to reveal himself to them. I want God to heal them in such a way that they'll stop hurting me and everybody else that they're hurting. I want God to raise them above whatever pain is causing them to cause other people hurt and to lie about people and to cheat on people and to be unfair to people. That is a refreshing day when that day comes and you realize, I really do want them to be blessed. I don't want their teeth to be smashed in. I don't want their children to be fatherless. I don't want any of those bad things to happen to them. I want them to be a person walking in the fullness of God as well.
Listening, friend, these words from Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Words of Jesus taught to his disciples, taught to us today. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So we're asking and seeking God for forgiveness, yet we're also realizing that he's instructing us to forgive others. That's how we can have that meaningful relationship and be that witness for Christ. Now, something might be stirring in your heart today where you're thinking, you know, I carry bitterness. I'm in anguish over different things that have happened to me or situations. Well, bring it to the Father. And if you want to talk to somebody, there's an 800 number. These are trained counselors. It's a free call. They're wonderful people. They'll lead you into understanding God's love for you and how to have a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll answer your questions about the Bible, and they'll pray for you. You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. What a wonderful topic for us to go into the weekend thinking about, that the Lord will forgive us our sins, yet, listening friend, we need to forgive those also around us. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to listen to it again or know a friend that might benefit by listening, send them to greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and they can listen to this program anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.